welcome to episode 25 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? Yep. This is the first quarantine pandemic episode of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast. Not a lot of Ducks hockey to talk about. And also Kent, thoughts with him and his family as he a small business owner. And we know how the pandemic is affecting small businesses and large businesses all around. So hope for the best for Kent. Send him well wishes. And if you need some coffee, order some coffee online from his website. It's huskinscoffee.com. And then go, you can just scroll down a little bit. You can find the small buy coffee link. And then he's got a whole bunch of coffees down that he sells that he can have delivered to you. Obviously now with people in Southern California and all of California not allowed to gather in spaces, most places are shutting down non-essential businesses. So they need a way to make money. So, I mean, order food from local restaurants, order coffee from Huskins Coffee, and they'll deliver it to you. That's a good way to support people who are probably struggling during this time. So well wishes for Kent. Obviously, he's not here because he's tending to his family and to his business, and we understand that. So today, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to interview one of my friends growing up from back east, who is the Elite Athlete Services Coordinator for Bauer, which means he liaises, interacts with all the different Bauer hockey athletes and kind of does the administrative duties and the communication with what they get with their equipment. But we'll go into that a little more. But we had a little bit of a discussion about kind of what it's like to be a sponsored athlete, how he works with them, things kind of you might not know about being sponsored by a hockey company. I know I'm always curious about things like pro stock sticks and what they get and kind of the benefits of being a sponsored athlete. So Joey was a great interview talking to him about just what it's like working for Bauer and how he got into the job and also what he does for them and what it's like for athletes and working with athletes there. And if you are interested in working in sports, it's also a good interview to listen to because he kind of talks about how he got into working for Bauer and his education and his path. And it really was informative. But just a little disclaimer, this has nothing to do with the Anaheim Ducks really besides being about hockey equipment. But it is equally interesting and definitely worth a listen. So here he is, my buddy Joey McIntyre, Elite Athlete Services Coordinator for Bauer. Not the member of New Kids on the Block, but in my opinion, this is more interesting. So yeah, here we go with the interview. Hey, Joey, it's Anthony Ciardelli. Can you hear me all right?
I can, my man. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you? Long time no speak.
I know. I'm doing all right, considering this crazy world that we're living in. How are you guys doing out there?
We're good. We're, not leaving the house much just for groceries and stuff. I'm trying to surf as much as I can before they close the beaches, but that's pretty much it. Are you guys still in New Hampshire, or where are you living now?
Yeah, so so Bauer's based out of Exeter, New Hampshire. So we're about 10 minutes from the office. Everything for about the last week has been pretty shut down around here. Bauer's been shut down. Everyone's kind of been working from home. I've been out of the house like twice in the last week. You know, we did a drive by on the beach just to get some fresh air. And then I took my daughter for a walk the other day when it was nice. And other than that, it's been, it's just kind of kicking around the house, trying to get stuff done.
All right. Well, then we'll get going, starting with what was your hockey life like growing up, playing in college and growing up youth hockey? How did you get into hockey?
Got into hockey pretty early on. I think from what I can remember, it was, you know, age 3 or 4, just, you know, on the ice and kind of learning how to skate. And then where we lived in New Hampshire, Canaan, New Hampshire, which I know you're familiar with, Anthony, there wasn't really any youth league set up there. So we ended up driving to White River Junction. That was really the first big sort of youth league that had been set up at the time. That was my first real memory of house league was playing there and kind of just, pushing the puck around. So from there, we ended up actually moving to Vermont. So that ended up becoming my home sort of association. So grew up playing there and traveling, throughout the state of Vermont.
Was that Hartford with the old outdoor rink?
Correct. Yeah, the old BOR, which, you know, the it had the you know, the tin ceiling, but, you know, all, well, two of the sides were chain link fence. So definitely one of the colder rinks that I can ever remember playing in as a kid. So obviously they've made a lot of improvements to that facility since then. But yeah, that was definitely our home rink. So
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot has changed down there. I remember playing that rink a lot as a kid, and it was always so cold. And at some, I think the or my earlier days, you're a little older than me, but my early days playing games there, I think they had a tractor as a Zamboni, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
absolutely. And funny story is that tractor also was still around even when I was in high school. It served as a backup, you know. So there was more than one occasion where the regular Zamboni was you know, broken down for whatever reason, and then, you know, they still had the functioning, you know, I think it was a diesel tractor with the attachment on the back, which, you know, as you can imagine, it, you know, it put off some pretty decent fumes in there. So when you did come back on the ice, you were inhaling whatever was left over. So yeah, but they've done a great job. I think they raised a bunch of money, and they put a bunch of money into the facility. So it's a far cry from what it used to be.
So you played in college. What was your college career like? And getting, I mean, did you get recruited? Did you choose to play maybe somewhere you could walk on? What was that like?
Yeah, so well, funny story. So I kind of took a different path to kind of getting to college hockey. So I actually, out of high school, I did a post grad year, which is obviously pretty big up here in the Northeast. You know, I was 17 when I graduated high school. So from a physical standpoint, but mostly, you know, kind of an emotional and you know, personal development, needed that kind of that extra year to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. Where I felt like I belonged. So I ended up doing a PG year at Bridgeton Academy, which is in it's about an hour north, due north of Portland, Maine. So it's an all PG school, all male school. So really the people who are there are athletes, and then again, people looking for that extra year to kind of just develop. So I actually went there to play football, and got recruited to play football to Bryant University, or it was Bryant College at the time. It was a D2 school. It's now Bryant University, is now 1AA. So I actually went there for 2 seasons, 2 years. Played football, was recruited as a free safety. Got hurt in both the years, ended up using a redshirt year my first year. And then so I was kind of looking for just, all told, being hurt and wasn't in a great place. So kind of was looking for a different path, and ended up going to Castleton State, which is in the western part of Vermont. So about an hour and a half from where we grew up. And they had just started a hockey program, I think, the year before. So they had just gone varsity, had some friends who went to school there and were on the team, and said, "Hey, listen, you know, we're looking for bodies, people who played, you know, once you," knowing that I had already been kind of accepted and transferred in, they said, "Hey, why don't you come out?" And it was an interesting first year because we had the Dean of Students was our head coach, Greg Stone.
No messing
So
around.
again, no, you know, again, they it was at that point, you know, Castleton, and we can kind of circle back. Castleton's grown sort of leaps and bounds since then, but it was a very small school, and, you know, they didn't really know kind of what they needed to do from a program standpoint. And the dean, you know, Coach Stone was, you know, just he was an able body and knew the game, so he jumped in and you know, when I started that first year, we had three of the four teams that went to the Frozen Four that previous year on our schedule. So we had Norwich, we had Middlebury, and we had Trinity. So needless to say, we didn't fare very well. We actually didn't win a game that entire year. So we were, you know, as you can imagine, had a lot of growing pains. But it was interesting. It was good hockey. We had a good group of guys. I mean, it was important to us. We just, you know, we were undermanned. You know, we just couldn't. We had good games with some of the teams, but we just didn't have the firepower that, you know, some of the bigger schools, even, you know, with some recruited athletes. So after that year, the school decided to bring in a full-time head coach. So went through the search process there, and the team, myself included, was a part of that process, and ended up hiring Alex Todd, who he played at Union, played semi-professionally, and then he got hired at Castleton, and you know, he came in right away and really brought a culture with him, and you know, hold everyone accountable, started an off-season program, you know, really made it into what, you know, I was used to coming from the football world, you know, of, you know, day to day, this is what you do. This is how you act. This is how you, you know, train for a season. And he recruited and he went out and he was recruiting all over, you know, Canada and the States and really, you know, brought in, I think that year he brought in, we had 60 guys show up for the first day of dry land training.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, it was a very quick 180. And then we ended up, you know, obviously fielding a team with about 25. So the dry land train that year was pretty rugged, kind of meant to get the numbers down to a manageable number. And, you know, there we were on, you know, middle of October with a team. So
getting on to your career with Bauer. So we obviously were coworkers for a short period of time at the Upper Valley Aquatic Center. And then you moved on to work for the Dartmouth College football team, correct?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So when I was working at the Aquatic Center, I was also coaching high school football and, you know, that was kind of my first, like the Aquatic Center was my first real job out of college. So, but I very quickly, realized that I had a yearning to coach and sort of be on that side of athletics. So, I was fortunate enough to kind of fall into Dartmouth. I had previously worked at Dartmouth as an undergrad. I had interned there, you know, just in the facilities and athletics office. So I was technically in the system. So when I actually applied almost a full year before I got hired, I applied in August of 11. And they went through their full season. And I got phone calls, sort of that spring saying, hey, now they're going to do the search. So, got hired to be the director of football operations, which,
oh, wow.
For those who don't know, it's basically kind of the day-to-day, management of the program. So working very closely with the head coach and the coaches, to kind of keep everything on track. It's not a coaching position, more of an administrator. So working with the athletic department, you know, and kind of liaising between admissions, financial aid, athletic communications, all the different pieces that touch a program. Which was great because, you know, it's sort of tailored to my background, kind of coming from the Aquatic Center, doing many of the same things. And, what I went to school for, sports administration. So again, kind of knowing that that's what I wanted to do, in some regard, it was really a good fit. Was there for about 7 years.
Wow, time flies. I remember when you started working for them. That's incredible how fast that's been.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because you look back and then you start looking at some of the dates and like, wow, like really, did that happen that long ago? And you know, it's pretty crazy. So, but yeah, so I spent about 7 years at Dartmouth, and then you know, with everything else, it kind of has a shelf life. You know, had kind of gone through a bunch of different changes at that point and had met my wife. We had bought a house, we got married. We were kind of looking at the next chapter and we're kind of looking for something new, something exciting. It kind of hit the ceiling in terms of, you know, where I was at Dartmouth. So, kind of the same situation. I found a posting for Bauer Hockey, online. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have an in. I applied, and it was funny because my wife and I both vividly remember, I was sitting at the kitchen table and she looked and she said, oh, where's the job? I said, Exeter, New Hampshire, which is literally the town over from where she grew up. So, and she didn't think anything of it because I had been applying for different things. And so kind of fast forward a couple of weeks, I got a phone call and that started the process. Had a phone interview and then had kind of a series of in-person interviews and, yeah, the rest is history and been here now for about 18 months, almost, yeah, a little over a year and a half now. So
that's pretty, I mean, that's, sounds like kind of where you came from, relatively a dream job. What's your day to day like for them? What are you doing? I mean, I guess, what are your job responsibilities?
Yeah. So, My title, Elite Athlete Services Coordinator. So that kind of rolls up into our sports marketing department. So, Really, my day-to-day is kind of keeping track and organizing all that goes into our endorsed athletes. So we have about 300 athletes, men and women, that are signed with Bauer, and keeping track of their contracts, making sure that they have the appropriate, you know, tax forms and all that to get paid. Making sure that as part of their contracts, they also have a merchandise allotment. So not only Bauer, but we have about 11 different vendors, which include like Nike, Lululemon, Breitling watches, TaylorMade Golf. We have a custom suit manufacturer and a few others. So, so these athletes get to choose how they want to spend their merchandise dollars. And one of my large responsibilities is kind of managing the relationships with these merch partners, but also executing the athlete's ask in regards to that. So some are gift cards, some are, you know, pursuits or obviously in-person visits. It's just kind of managing and making sure everyone, you know, allocates and executes the money or the dollars that they have as part of their contract.
That's interesting. I didn't know that, like that. I mean, besides, I mean, when you're growing up playing hockey or whatever sport and you think of being sponsored by a company, you think, oh, I'm just going to get this equipment from Bauer or CCM or whoever you might be, whatever company you like. But I didn't know that you actually get like actual merchandise and I mean, is that something that's unique to Bauer, or do other companies do that as well?
No, it's other companies have it as well. You know, I don't know obviously all of the partners, but I know CCM has a few. Warrior is owned by New Balance, so they obviously have a pretty close relationship there. But I think ours is the more robust. You know, we obviously having 11, that's a lot to choose from. So again, you know, for these athletes who are with us more than a year, you know, they really can kind of spread their money out and really get a good, you know, smattering, lack of a better term, of product. You know, you can only buy so many Nike shoes or, you know, Lululemon. I mean, I guess you can have plenty of Lululemon, but you know, there's just so much that they can use it on, and quite honestly, a lot of them kind of give it to their families. They're ordering golf clubs for their dad or their mom or their sisters, you know, and they really use it to kind of, you know, help out those who have helped them out, which is great. And
yeah,
that's part of what I get to kind of work with them on. And in some regard, again, we're not, you know, I'm not seeing them, and we're talking sort of via text message or, you know, the occasional phone call or email, but it's really like, hey, I'm trying to get something for my parents. Can we get this done?
And, absolutely.
And it's like, okay. So
yeah, I mean, Breitling watches is a pretty legit perk, I think, right there. That's impressive. I mean, is there anything else that people might not know or maybe take for granted about, like when they think about a sponsored athlete or getting equipment or merchandise free from a company on your end or on the athlete's end from your experience?
You know, from the equipment standpoint, I mean, the teams buy all of that. So regardless, you know, so if you're the Boston Bruins, you know, they have, you know, 25, 30 guys on roster. You know, their equipment managers work with the various reps for all of the companies, and you know, they're the ones ordering it. So again, they're not getting product for free at that level, you know, so the teams have to pay for that. But where they do get the perks is, you know, in these ancillary, you know, contract benefits. So, you know, they may have a cash component, but 98% of them do have a merchandise component. So that's where, you know, they can kind of pick and choose and you know, use it on the side. So, no, nothing earth shattering. You know, it's just, it is a lot, you know, the custom capabilities on their equipment nowadays. Again, you know, growing up, it was like, here's your stick, here's your skates, go ahead and play. You know, these guys, you know, they're not using stock anything. Everything is custom tongue, custom, you know, facing on the skate, custom stick, I mean, custom graphics. It's, you know, I think all of the companies are sort of doing a great job in tailoring to the athletes. It's just, it's a lot to manage, and the reps, you know, do a great job working with the equipment manager and the athletes to really hone in on exactly what they want and you know, how it makes them perform better on the ice.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. I mean, I didn't even know, I assumed that, like, I knew that there were equipment managers on NHL teams that kind of tailored and worked with players' equipment, but I didn't know the teams bought it. I thought it was just like, oh, here's like Sidney Crosby's. I think he's CCM, right? I want to use a Bauer example, but like so and so gets a gets all their sticks and equipment from Bauer. I assume they just came straight from the company. I didn't know that the team buys that all. That's interesting. Before we continue with the interview, just a note from our sponsors. While you're waiting this pandemic out at home with us, listening to us, you can still have fun betting at betonline.com. I know there's no March Madness or anything else, no hockey, no Ducks hockey to watch, but BetOnline is still taking your wagers, including their online casino with poker and blackjack. And there's still things to bet on, even if sports aren't around. There's American Idol, there's the elections. I know there's things about the elections every day on the news. You're probably getting sick of hearing it. But why not bet on it and make it a little bit fun? That's right. You can bet on the elections. And there is still fun to be had at betonline.com. Use the promo code MYPOD100 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. For my listeners, 50% off with your promo code MYPOD100. BetOnline. The fun never ends. Super excited about a new sponsor for our show. If you're a fan of style, style is changing. Formal wear is going out and the t-shirt is back in. True Classic Tees are my favorite. It's based in LA, where I live, and a t-shirt company that's on the rise. The t-shirts are soft, they hold up in the wash, and they're incredibly versatile. You could wear them out, you can wear them to work out, you can wear them around the house, which is, let's be honest, where we're going to be spending a lot of time in the very near future. And the best part, they're incredibly cheap, only $15. And now you can get them for even less. Go to trueclassictees.com and use the code at checkout, BLEAV, for 20% off. That's BLEAV, BLEAV, at trueclassictees.com. From a product standpoint, without kind of saying what's coming out in the future, do you know much about the R&D? Like, I'm curious because whenever Joe Schmo, like me, buys a stick or sees an ad for a piece of equipment, it's always like this such and such technology or this new like piece of equipment that's been researched and tested and all that. How much actually goes into that? Because it really feels like now with the advancement of hockey equipment that it has to be some serious research and development.
Yeah, no, it does. And I've been fortunate. So our R&D facility is based in Blainville, Quebec, which is just north of Montreal. And the people for all the various categories who work up there are unbelievable. They are, they're the best in their field. Their charge is like always to kind of push the envelope. So, you know, whether that's skates or sticks or helmets or gloves, again, they're using, obviously NHLers as resources, but also, our consumer. And again, obviously it's easy to think in our world that the NHL is the end all be all, but in our business, it's a part of the overall, piece of the pie. So, making sure that we're not just making product for the elites. We're also making product for, the beer leaguers or, the 12 to 13 year old kids who are, in house league or, the kids just starting out. So again, there's research and development that goes into all of those. It's not just, hey, we're doing it for the NHL. So again, our team, works tirelessly at making products that, make athletes play better, and again, does it make them shoot harder? Who knows? But again, the perceived benefit, of a skate, if it fits better, if it feels better on someone's foot, they're going to feel better about, how they play. If the helmet fits tighter, it's snugger, then, the parents are more comfortable with, the safety aspect. And, the kid is complaining less about how his head hurts because the helmet is too hard. So sort of across the board, again, with the different categories, they're always pushing the envelope. And the nature of our job is we're exposed to, the what's coming down the pipe, because obviously we're part of the sports marketing world is, our guys are the ones and gals are the ones who will be promoting it. So our reps need to know all the latest tech and spec. We sit in on, quarterly meetings, as a company that are going over, hey, what's coming to market? How are we going to, publicize it? Who are we going to use? This is what you need to know to sell it in the marketplace. And again, a lot of that overlaps with our retail partners. So again, from the elite side, also to the retail side, there is a lot of overlap. So, it's an ever-changing world that, again, our team, is always kind of pushing the envelope on.
And speaking of pushing the envelope, you mentioned the Bauer ADV stick, the Nexus ADV yep. stick with a hole in it. Do you know how that came about? Like how did that happen?
I honestly, I don't know 100% the genesis of it. I think the thought was when they had initially done the Vapor ADV, that stick is still being used by a lot of players in the NHL. At least in construction, and I'm not going to get too far into it, but the NHL players, just because you see the graphic doesn't mean that's the construction they're using. So, it could be any combination of components from the different pieces of the stick wrapped in a certain graphic. So if it's a vapor looking stick, it could be a Supreme graphic or a Nexus, it could be a Supreme construction or a Nexus construction based on that player's preference. So kind of circling back, they had made the Vapor ADV a couple of years ago and it took off. We launched the Supreme ADV this fall with a new geometry. And then the Nexus ADV is something that we've been kind of teasing with some of our elite athletes over the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, we started showing it and kind of getting some reaction just to kind of see if it was worth sort of pursuing. And, at least from an NHL adoption perspective, and the athletes, liked it, and there weren't any issues from the testing, kind of getting back to the R&D, there weren't any issues from a durability standpoint. Again, people see a hole in it and they think automatically, oh, it's less durable and the blade's going to break and blah, blah, blah. Well, that didn't pan out. It's just as durable. And again, credit to our R&D team for doing that and the folks who build it. But it ended up kind of holding up and we launched it this year at All-Star with kind of going at retail. And then we had a few athletes who were kind of messing around with it. And I think right now Jake DeBrusque is still the one who's kind of using it in the NHL, or was before the shutdown. So again, it was just something that always looking to kind of push the envelope, and something that we felt was a significant game changer in the marketplace. I think that was just the latest example of Bauer and the team really kind of trying to take the game to another level. So,
absolutely. And you kind of mentioned a little bit about the athletes and the stick that you see them using might not be what's the kind of the technology behind it. It might be from a different model, but do you know much about? I mean, really, from what I can tell, basically the difference between like a stick you get in at a hockey store that's got like a Patrick Kane curve, or to use a Bauer example, and then versus something that's called like a pro stock stick. Could you explain the difference to that? Because I mean, that's something I've always kind of been confused by, and I'm sure a lot of other people have too.
Yeah. So kind of when you go to your hockey retailer, each manufacturer has sort of got their stable of let's call it curves. And that's kind of what we're talking about in terms of Patrick Kane. We had, the P92, which, used to be Austin Matthews, used to be Alex Ovechkin. Now we're getting to the point where it's a P88, a P92, and a P28. Those are sort of the three sort of staple curves. Those are the most purchased. Obviously there's different, there's different variations or other variations. But when you go to the store, those are the ones you're predominantly going to see. So again, those are just regular curves. Now, when you're looking at an actual player stick or a pro stock, you're looking at, whatever, whether it's Patrick Kane, David Pastrnak. So those guys have the ability to essentially custom make their own curve. So they're working with our reps. If they're in a goal drive, they say, hey, I need something with a little more toe or a little less toe, a little bit of a different lie. they have the ability to really customize that curve to whatever they want to do. And so, again, if you see, you know, you see online where the pro stock, you know, they're selling off, you know, old whatever David Pasternak stick, that's probably because he changed his curve and is no longer using that curve or construction for whatever reason. So that's kind of the main difference or the difference altogether. So you kind of have your generic curves and or construction. So like you go to the store, you're getting a Vapor, you know, P92. It is what it is. It's got the elliptical taper. It's got the red head at the top from a graphic standpoint, and it's got the, you know, the standard curve. You know, you could go see, you know, Patrick Kane, who's, you know, he's got a Vapor graphic with a Supreme construction and his curve and with, you know, specific to him. I mean, that's kind of how, that's how he likes it. He likes the Supreme feel, the way the Supreme stick is built. And because he's one of our Vapor athletes, we just wrap it in that Vapor red graphic for him. So
got it. Okay. Sorry. No, I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
No. That's kind of it in its simplest form. Again, we kind of bucket athletes, you know, into, you know, either a Vapor athlete or Supreme. So again, you know, if they want a different construction, they just want that Supreme or they want that certain graphic, we obviously have the ability to do that. So that's kind of stick specific, whereas, you know, obviously Vapor skates and Supreme skates are a little bit harder to do that just because they're built a little bit differently. But for the most part, we've earmarked those athletes accordingly. But
talking about, I know you mentioned you do events for Bauer. Talk about what that's like. I think, did I see you did one with those guys, the two Instagram guys, Ollie posting?
Jacob and Ollie?
Yeah, Jacob and Ollie. What was that like?
Yeah, you know what? We've done a couple of events with those guys here in the last year or so, year and a half. I mean, they're incredible guys. You know, they're based out of Calgary and you know, they kind of hit the market at the right time. And they sort of took off and they realized that they had something going. So they've run with it and they're incredibly smart. They know exactly what they're doing. But yeah, we were actually just out at the Minnesota State High School Tournament, which for you or I is hard to imagine. You know, you're coming from Vermont, New Hampshire, you know, you have this big deal where you're playing in front of the entire state and all this. And then literally in Minnesota, the entire state shuts down and everyone drives to Minneapolis, St. Paul and is in the city for a week. And you have the 1A and the 2A championships that are going on all week. And it is, I mean, it's unbelievable that, you know, the support that these kids get. And out in Minnesota, they've got, you know, the most NHL players per state. Huh. All of them play high school hockey. You know, out here we think, you know, they're going to prep school or they're going to a junior team, you know, or they're going to the U.S. development program. No, these guys, they may be part of the development program, but they stay with their high school teammates. I mean, it's a camaraderie thing. So it's refreshing when you go and see that. But anyway, kind of getting back to the point. Jacob and Ollie were out there and, you know, our social team has been working with them for, like I said, a little bit over a year now. And they came out and were doing some content for themselves and for us. And they're good guys. You know, you get to know them, you know, in their personas, and then you get to kind of know them off the ice, and really they just love hockey. They're like everybody else. They love to be around the game. They love interacting. They love kind of, you know, having a conversation like we're having about product and kind of know what's coming and what's tweaking. They're great. We had them at our athlete event, our big content capture last summer, where they were essentially the referees for our Young Gun Day. And then, you know, the misconception is you see them, you know, on their videos or their YouTubes kind of out there messing around, but they can both play. They're both very skilled. And, you know, the content from last summer, I think, showed it, because they both pulled off a few moves that, you know, that you see on the NHL, and they did it kind of seamlessly. So,
wow.
They were a lot of fun to be around and, you know, really good guys, you know, on and off the ice. So.
Is there another, I know you say you mostly spend time over the phone or via email working with athletes, but is there a Bauer athlete in particular that you've really enjoyed working with, or that's just always you always kind of like talking to?
You know, I'm fortunate because when I do talk to you know, any of the gals or the guys that we deal with, everyone's pretty down to earth. You know, I haven't really had any, you know, high maintenance people. And usually when they're talking to me, it's like, hey, or just, you know, I'm trying to get something done. I'm trying to, you know, try to organize something for my family or trying to get an order in. And, you know, part of it, like you say, going back to the events, you know, I work with the athletes and their agent or the representation when we're doing big events. So, again, it's usually around good causes. So, you know, no one really sticks out as being above and beyond. I mean, I sort of marvel at the professionalism that they all have. You know, I was fortunate enough over the last, you know, year or so, we did our holiday campaign, which is, we call Game is a Gift, where we brought in, you know, a few of our different athletes to different organizations and just use the day to kind of give back to the different, you know, we did the Bruins and the Boston Fire Department. We did the Chicago Blackhawks and a residential home in Chicago for mentally for challenged adults and children. At Henrik Lundqvist on the streets of New York, just giving out tickets. Again, you know, these are situations that are outside their, you know, their day-to-day comfort zone, but, you know, everybody sort of just took it in stride and accepted it and really just kind of embraced it and had fun with it, which is, you know, to me, you know, we're asking them to do something outside their comfort zone. And, you know, it's kind of a testament to them that they do it with a smile on their face and as gracious as they are. So, you know, that's been, I guess, the most eye-opening thing for me is just really how down to earth everybody has been. You know, mm-hmm. You kind of see them on TV and you think, oh, wow, that's, you know, that's David Pastrnak. That's Jonathan Toews. That's, you know, Hillary Knight, you know, but everyone's just, they're regular people and they're just, you know, happy to be associated with Bauer and happy to kind of be giving back to whoever it is that they have the opportunity to give back to. So
has there ever been anyone that you might've bumped into at an event where you were like starstruck by? No, I mean, I'm guessing having grown up where we grew up, you might've been a Bruins fan, but have you ever like bumped into Bobby Orr or someone who you like really just kind of really looked up to as a kid who you've seen at an event or anything like that when you've been working for Bauer?
You know, the one that just happened. So we were out at the All-Star game in St. Louis in January and Bauer, the NHL in St. Louis had a press conference that was sort of promoting or kicking off this Grow the Game component in St. Louis. They have a brand new practice facility just outside the city that the Blues and the NHL and Bauer kind of got behind and had sort of a great day. And had, you know, some of the top female athletes, not just Bauer, but in the whole entire game. So they were there and we were kind of in the back sort of preparing for the day. And, Brett Hull walked in. Cool. And so, again, completely down to earth, low key. So it's Brett Hull. We were in a room with, you know, Hillary Knight, Marie-Philippe Poulin, Rebecca Johnston, Casey Bellamy, you know, so a lot of athletes that I know, again, top of their game, top of the field. And we're standing there and Brett Hull walks in and, you know, not really saying anything. He's kind of, you know, kind of keeping to himself. And then it kind of bumped into each other sitting there and we just started talking. And so he had his St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup ring on. So I kind of naturally asked him about that. So he pulled up photos of that, comparing it to the Houston Astros ring from a couple of years ago, which he had a friend on. And I mean, the St. Louis Blues ring is just, it dwarfs. I mean, it's enormous. And he's sitting there kind of showing. And then very quickly, like I'm a friend of his, he starts showing me this video of him pulling in this huge shark off the coast of Florida, which like, again, to me was awesome. Like he didn't know me from anybody. He had, you know, it's a conversation that he doesn't even remember. But like, again, I think it just speaks to that in the hockey space that people are so down to earth and, you know, they're genuine with their time and happy to kind of be, you know, in the environment they are. So, you know, again, not necessarily starstruck, but just kind of in admiration of a guy who I grew up watching play and obviously was one of the best players in our generation. And just really how down to earth and, you know, accommodating he was with him, you know, his time. So that was pretty cool for me. In addition to kind of meeting everyone else I have, that was pretty cool for me.
That is the cool thing about hockey. It's just everybody's kind of very, Yeah, like you said, very down to earth, very professional. They understand what they mean to the people who grew up watching them. I can think of a time I was doing a project out here for my master's about the growth of California hockey, and I was looking up basically coaches I wanted to interview, local high school coaches. And I see this name, Steve Hines, is one of the coaches at in Santa Barbara. And I was like, Steve Hines? I wonder if that's the same Steve Hines from the Bruins back in like the 90s and 2000. And sure enough, it was. And I interviewed him, and he was like the coolest guy. And I was professional the whole time. And at the end of the interview, I was like, I just wanted to tell you this at the end. I like loved watching you play when I was a little kid. Like, you were so like, yeah, just great. And so, yeah, I totally know what you mean there. It's definitely a unique sport and universe to be involved with. And is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
Again, it's been a pretty cool experience, and certainly thankful for the people at Bauer to kind of, you know, allow me to do such a cool job, and thankful to you for, you know, allowing me the time to kind of talk about it. And
happy to have you.
Yeah, you know, it's also again, it's such a small community of people. I mean, there's a lot of people who play hockey, but you know, there's a lot of people who are connected, and it's fun. It's fun. So
absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Good luck back in Exeter with your family. I know your young daughter, so we're both in the same boat, girl dads.
Yeah, no.
So, stay safe, and thanks for coming on, and tell everyone I say hi.
Absolutely. Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Joey. Talk to you later. That'll do it for the episode 25 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at DeliTweets. That's DelliTweets. You can also find me on Instagram, my media account, The Media Deli on Instagram. That's spelled THEMEDIADELLI, just the second half of my last name, excuse me, on Instagram. And you can find Kent at Husk_Verna, that's HUSK_VERNA on Instagram, and at Huskins Coffee. Obviously now you can't go there because it's closed due to the coronavirus pandemic, but please order coffee from his website because he will really appreciate it. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, all these small businesses need your patronage in any way you can, even if you can't go directly to the store. Most of them have online presences, and if it's a restaurant, they might deliver to your house. Just make sure that you're supporting your local businesses, and Huskins Coffee especially, because from experience, it's a great place, and we want it to remain in business. So with on that note, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.